Well, it is hard to believe, but we're up to the last section now in Paul's letter to the Philippians, and the last word in our series on the attitude and the mindset of Christ. And that's not to say that we've covered every aspect of our Lord's character, of course, but Paul has to land the plane somewhere. And the last word he chooses is probably the hardest, most challenging one of all. Content. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Paul boasts here from his prison cell. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. But now, honestly, how can he claim that? I mean, we may feel thankful about many things and joyful much of the time or some of the time. But content in all things? It's hard to believe that's even possible. Still, let's hear Paul out. Turn with me this morning to Philippians 4, beginning at verse 10. Let's hear now the word of the Lord. Paul writes this: I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I've received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Well, I came across this article this past week, written by Daniel Cordero, about a team of researchers from Yale University. For 5 years, Cordero and his team set out to study which human emotions are universal across all human cultures. And their study took them to some fascinating places. In fact, in 2014, they found themselves in this remote village high in the Himalayas of eastern Bhutan, with the people who've been cut off from all modern civilization there for centuries. And after making a peaceful first contact, the researchers showed them pictures of faces from the outside world and asked them to identify which ones were joyful, sad, angry, fearful, embarrassed, and so on. And the villagers did so with remarkable accuracy, though they'd never seen faces quite like ours. But there was one emotion that they couldn't find etched in our modern Western faces. One emotion which they highly prized in their ancient Buddhist way of life. Contentment. As Cordero observed, no matter where I went on planet Earth, most cultures revered contentment as one of the highest states that people should try to cultivate in life. Yet here in the West, we obsessed over happiness, feel anxious, depressed, and stressed out. In fact, there are two main strategies that people have used to seek their well-being throughout history, what the researchers called the more strategy and the strategy of enough. The more strategy seeks its source from without in gaining more money, more glory or power, more success or validation from the world outside. As if the secret to lasting joy is to get more so you'll always have plenty for yourself. And we're pretty familiar with this one, aren't we? For instance, if I tell you to look under your pews right now for a hidden envelope, that might just spark a little bit of hope in you, right? I mean, what if there's $1,000 or the keys to a new car under mine? I assure you, there is not. But has anybody ever tried that in church yet? You get a car, you get a car, you get a car, you get a car. I'm sure we'd all be as happy as Oprah for a while, but it wouldn't last for all that long. And yet we all buy in to this more strategy in some more subtle ways in our lives. It's hard not to see our well-being as contingent on certain outcomes. Ever caught yourself saying things like, when I've saved up X number of dollars, then I'll be happy? Or when my kids get a good job or gets into that college, then I'll know I was successful as a parent. Or when so-and-so validates my work, then I'll know I've arrived. The trouble is, as soon as one condition's met, we quickly add another, and then another, and another. The more strategy might give us bursts of happiness, but it can't keep us happy, keep us satisfied. It just isn't sustainable. We'll never be content till this thing happens, or that thing's fixed, or the world's arranged itself completely according to our desires. It leaves us anxious and unfulfilled, exhausted. But the second strategy Cordero and his team discovered was what people in that village called kokshe, the knowledge of enough. That maybe wellness isn't found outside us, but within us, by believing that we are enough. While poring through thousands of years of ancient wisdom traditions, the researchers were shocked to find that the ancients almost never used the word happiness when they talked about contentment or about what it means to be well, but words like wholeness or a sense of fullness in oneself. In fact, the root of the word contentment comes from the Latin word contentus, which means to be held together, whole or intact. And originally it described things like buckets and barrels, containers full of contents could be content. But later the word evolved into something that could describe a person too, one who feels complete or whole in themselves with no extraneous needs or desires. In fact, the Greek word Paul uses was a favorite of the Stoics here too. It literally means self-sufficient. Self-satisfied. But is that it then? Is the secret to contentment simply inside us in realizing we're already all good in ourselves? I don't know about you, but I'm still not hearing the gospel. When Paul boasts, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in plenty or in want. I mean, is he just being full of himself? Or full of something or someone else? I don't want to bash yoga, but I think it's a wonderful thing for those maybe who are 5 times more flexible than I am. I think there's something to be learned about being mindful too and having an attitude of gratitude in our hearts. Definitely, but here is the question. Are those things enough to weather the worst that life can throw at us sometimes? Paul says all circumstances here, and he went through some very rough stuff. Paul's in prison in Rome as he writes this thank you note to Philippi, and the thing about prison back then was that they didn't feed you there. You had to support yourself or have some generous friends on the outside. But even as the Philippians meet Paul's very real needs, he wants them to know that he'd still be all right, even if they hadn't sent him that gift. sent him that help. Because he has a secret source of strength, of sustenance inside. Do you want to know that secret? Paul's not trying to hide it here. No, he puts it right here in verse 13. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. What is Paul's wellness strategy? Well, not to seek more from the world or to get all that he wants or to tell himself that he's enough just in himself, but no, to welcome deep in his soul the deepest wellness of Christ. I'll only be content when this or that happens. Until my life's just so, I cannot rest. See, so many of us go through life thinking those things, that if we could just get more or want less, we'd be all set. But no, the secret of contentment is to know that right where you are, you have all that you need to live life to the full. Christ is enough, the Lord, our source, our strength. We won't find what we're looking for out there. We won't find it all in ourselves here either. It's not in our situations, but in our relationship, Paul shouts. In fact, Holocaust survivor Corrie ten Boom probably said it best when she said, look around and be distressed. Look inside and be depressed. But look to Jesus and be at rest. See, the secret is that God is pouring his strength into our lives through the grace and peace of Jesus, his supernatural strength that can handle every situation, every circumstance, and every need. The key is not that I can do all things, but that we can do all things through him who gives us his strength. That is the good news. That's the gospel for us this morning. We can get through COVID and through all of its horrors through Christ who gives us strength. We can get through cancer, yes, even cancer, through Christ who gives us strength. We can suffer our riches and endure our poverty and even face martyrdom as Paul did if it comes to that. We can pass through death in peace through Christ who gives us strength. To be content doesn't mean to be happy about any and every situation. But to know that regardless of what happens, you'll be okay. You'll be sustained. To know that though you may not have enough in strength or in resources, there's one who does, and he's full of grace. So you can weather all things through him who gives you the strength. I'm sure we've all heard that line, God doesn't give us more than we can handle. But see, that's not what Paul is saying here at all. Don't believe all that pious garbage. That's nonsense. It really, really is. Of course God gives us more than we can handle sometimes, but he also gives us Christ and one another to help us bear those burdens, that impossible. The secret of contentment is not being enough in ourselves, but enough together in Christ. I'm not enough. You're not enough. But in Christ, we are enough. You see, and I don't think I could say it any simpler than that. I'm not enough. You're not enough. But in Christ, friends, we are enough. He who began a good work in us will see it done. Will see us finished. In fact, maybe the most wondrous line at the end of Paul's letter here is in verse 23, the final blessing that he leaves with his church here in Philippi. The footnote in my NIV study Bible says this. It says, this is just a typical benediction of Paul. But you know what? I don't think so. There's something very special about this verse here, about this closing line. And Paul says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Because notice, it's your plural, but spirit singular. God's grace isn't just for each of us individually, but for all of us together, we share in one mind, one body, one spirit in Jesus Christ. And we'll never learn to be confident, humble, hopeful, courageous, or content all on our own. But only as God raises us up together in the image of his Son. Friends, the more we rejoice with one another, the more we suffer with each other, the more we share in his strength, the more we pull together to be like Christ, the more God pours his peace into our hearts. If anyone asks you, why bother with church anymore? Well, tell them it's because an almighty God meets us here as we worship and we serve him together. And he gives us a strength that is just out of this world. As Paul assures the Philippians, God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ. And knowing that, friends, we can be content with it too. Of course, we'll be discontent with all the suffering and sin and injustice that's still hanging on in this world. But we'll be content knowing Christ will make things new. As Paul taught Timothy, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. We need nothing more and nothing less than to know life to the full. And see, the secret is he's already met us. He's already met us in Christ. But let me close now with a story from Stephen Cole. Legend has it that a wealthy merchant during Paul's day had heard about the famous apostle. He became so fascinated with him, he decided to go pay him a visit. So while passing through Rome, he got in touch with Timothy and arranged an appointment, a meeting with Paul. Though the place wasn't so nice because Paul was still stuck there in prison. Stepping inside the cell, the merchant was surprised, though, to see how frail Paul was. But he also sensed the strength, the serenity, the gravitas of that old apostle. So that as he left, he asked Timothy, "What's the secret to this man's power? I've never met anyone like him before." "Did you not guess?" Timothy replied. "Paul is in love." "In love?" the merchant replied. Oh yes, Timothy said. "Paul is in love. He's in love with Jesus Christ." Still a bit puzzled, but sensing a ruse, the merchant asked, "Oh, is that all? Is that all?" "No," said Timothy. "That is everything." Let's pray. Lord, our hearts are restless. They are restless until they rest in you. You alone bring contentment to our lives. Show us this secret. Teach us this grace by which you sustain Paul and so many others. This amazing peace even in the midst of trouble. And help us to walk as you walk, Jesus. Teach us to humble ourselves. To rely more on God's strength by which he raises us up. Make us surprising to the world around us and even to ourselves sometimes, maybe. Through the grace and peace that we show to others. In Jesus' name we ask this, and for his kingdom's sake, and God's people say together, amen.